VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, as we go about our daily lives, going to work, earning a living, building our families, you know, there's an attempt being made to take over our elections, a federal takeover of our election system, to do away with voting safeguards and to turn our elections into what I call the Wild Wild West. I mean, if you thought last November was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Our guest today has said that the legislation that we'll be discussing today, if passed, would be the legalization of fraud and must be stopped if we are to ever have another honest election. Here to discuss the matter with us, we welcome back Tom DeWeese. He is the president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, which is a political novel. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Well, just over 2 months ago, we conducted a full program on Crosstalk here with another guest on H.R. 1 and its threat to the election integrity. H.R. 1 was some 791 pages. It passed the House on a vote of 220 to 210. Every Republican voted in opposition to the legislation. All Democrats, with the exception of one, that was Representative Benny Thompson, Mississippi, voted in favor of it. So it has passed the House. Now it's over in the Senate. And then the Senate is now known as S1. Tom, a whopping 817 pages, 26 pages longer than the House, and at present, there are 48 co-sponsors to this legislation, 46 Democrats, 2 independents. Not a single Republican has co-sponsored this. Action's been going on in the Senate, and last week, our guest, you sent out a sledgehammer action alert, and Tom, when you send out an action alert, it's time for people to stop and find out what's going on. So if you would tell us about S1, which they've misnamed, according to my opinion. They're calling it the For the People Act, but it's anything but For the People. Tom, tell us about S1.
Well, as we watched what happened last November and all of the different things, they keep trying to say there was no election fraud. That was all a lie. None of that really happened, just conspiracy theories. But as we look at what happened there and what is in this bill, they literally are taking all of the tactics that we show as parts of election fraud and legalizing them. I guess so. Maybe when they get it all in place, then they say, "Well, that's not illegal. That's okay." We're talking about things like one of the provisions in it is internet registration. That people just go on and register on the internet. That means you get no signature, you get no identification shown, and so forth. And people just register that way. It talks about banning the requirement for a full Social Security number for your voter registration. Again, how do we know who this person is? And
Are they an American citizen or not?
Exactly. And of course, that's really the purpose. They want nationwide motor voter registration. The motor voter registration is how thousands of illegals became registered in voters in California and Nevada. And the term automatic registration means a system that registers an individual to vote in elections for federal office in a state, if eligible, by electronically transferring the information necessary for registration from one agency to another. One of the things that can happen with this, for example, I go by different names. Either it's my name is Thomas or it's Tom. Mm-hmm. My middle initial is A. I could be registered as Thomas A. I could be registered as just Tom DeWeese. Mm-hmm. So, and all those, you'd end up with registrations this way, multiple voting. And that's what would happen with this.
Oh, you got Thomas A., you got Thomas with no initial, you got Tom A., and Tom with no initial. There's four registrations you could have right there that they'd have to somehow figure out in their system.
exactly. Not counting the misspellings.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, okay, so you mentioned this motor voter thing. Now, Tom, in most states, they're driving at age 16. I mean, would they actually be registering to vote, people at age 16?
Well, that's the next thing. Is 16-year-olds required to be registered to vote? It's not that they have to register, but the states are required to register them if they want to register to vote. And so 18 is thrown out. It goes down to 16.
Okay, and you already mentioned the illegal aliens that are receiving driver's licenses and there's a growing number of states right now that are pushing for illegal aliens to drive, saying, well, that's going to make us safer on our roads if they have licenses rather than just driving without a license.
Yeah, but this, you know, we know that this invasion of illegals crossing over here and crossing the border, that is a drive to drive up Democrat registrations. I mean, we can talk all around it all we want, but that's a fact, and that's what they're doing. And so they don't want to have the illegals have to prove who they are or that they're American citizens. And as you say, if they have the driver's license, well, there's that. Well, the interesting thing is, as you say, when they have the driver's license, that proves it or gives them identification. Well, but they are not going to require identification. That's another feature of this bill, is that you don't have to show any registration or, I mean, any identification at all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You know, we had something, and I don't have the document in my hand here. We had shown it on television, but we had a bizarre thing happen in Milwaukee County where somebody had registered in Milwaukee in order to vote in this election, and the election commission wrote them back and said that the information you submitted for address verification it's not sufficient. It doesn't meet the standard that you need to, but you may now use this letter as a standard because this is an official government letter that we're sending to you at the address that you provided us. I mean, what a circular way to somehow legalize fraud.
Yeah. And that, again, as I said right at the very beginning, what this is all about is to take all of the illegal things they did and make them all legal, and right down to that kind of a level.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. It does some other things. Nationwide same-day registration?
Nationwide same-day registration. And so here you got people just wandering in and want to vote. I was told back during one of Obama's elections, some friends of mine in Ohio were standing next to a polling area when a bus pulled up, and everybody on the bus, nobody spoke English. And they had handlers that walked into the polls with them and into the voting booth with them to show them how to vote, and so forth. Same-day registration, no identification, on and on and on. This is absolutely hurting people in to vote. These people probably didn't know what they were even doing.
No, so do they then load the bus and go to the next polling place?
Probably. They could, absolutely, with this. So, it's the same-day registration. There is no security to that, no verification. And then the other thing is prohibiting any attempts to clean the voter rolls of non-residents or dead people, and so forth. The job in every state of I believe is true, and of the Secretary of State in each state is to keep the voter rolls clean,
yes,
to keep it honest. You now have the Department of Justice, the federal agency, to telling state legislators or state secretaries of state to not do that. Don't clean the voter roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
And Wisconsin, again, case in point, the election commission was told that this was by statute that they were to clean the voter rolls, that is to purge from it those who were deceased or those who moved to other locations who had returned their verification cards and so forth. And guess what? They refused to do it. And now, several months after the election, now they're talking about, well, maybe we should now, clean up the voter rolls here.
Yeah, gee, what a concept.
Yeah.
I mean, these are just common sense things. If you're going to have an election of the people in your state, your city, across the country, to elect our leaders, then having a clean voter roll, knowing that the people who are voting are legitimate voters, how is that suppressing the vote? Yeah. So, but that's their argument. That's what they're they keep saying. We're suppressing the vote of people. There is no other country in the world that allows people to just wander in and vote, whether they know whether they're a resident of that country, a legal voter or not. No other country in the world allows that. But yet, this is we are just pummeled with the people behind this yelling at us that we're racist, that we're horrible people because we're trying to suppress the vote. There is nothing else you can do in this country without some kind of ID, no matter what it is you want to do. And what I find really interesting and hypocritical is that now they want us to have vaccine passport.
Right.
But not a voter, not a identification to vote. How hypocritical can you get?
Okay, so this bill, Senate 1, S1, as HR 1, would ban voter ID. So if states have voter ID in place where you have to show your driver's license, have to show a photo ID, state identification, this legislation would wipe every state clean from that, saying, no, you cannot do that here in our federal elections.
Yeah, and see, the thing, what some people argue is that, well, state elections wouldn't be affected by that, just federal, Congress and president. But this is literally taking the state sovereignty, the rights of the states, and federalizing the entire voter system. So I don't think that argument stands up when you look at it that way.
You know, Tom, I also saw this, that there was some recent polling by a group called the Honest Elections Project. They show that 77% of voters, including 62% of Biden voters, support voter ID requirements. 64% of African American voters support the photo ID. 78% of Hispanic voters supported national ID laws.
Now, you want to talk about racism? To take an entire group of people and say, well, they're not capable of doing this. They don't have an opportunity for that. They can't do this. You're taking, you're just taking an entire group and saying they're not capable. And I have heard from, it's just all those that you mentioned, blacks and Hispanics and so forth, who have all said, I've got ID. What do you mean I can't get ID?
Right, right.
And if that's a problem, a true problem, then all this money that the federal government spends on this, well, then why don't we create some kind of a special ID for somebody who doesn't drive or something?
And we've already got those. We've already got those special IDs, state identification cards. And Tom, what's so maddening in all of this, I mean, you went to the DNC convention. Guess what? You had to show photo ID. Yeah, you go to the library to get a Curious George book. You got to show a photo ID to get that, to check that out of the library. I've gotten rid of waste motor oil and trash at the recycle yard. Guess what? I've got to show a photo ID to gain entrance. I mean, we're doing that all over the country.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, what this thing does, it goes on to promote, really pushing voter by mail.
Let's pick up with that right after the break. Voter by mail. And folks, wow, what a fiasco, because there are many, many tentacles of this very aspect. Tom DeWeese is with us here today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about S1, the federal takeover of elections. You say it's not going to go anywhere? It's already passed the House. It's sitting in the Senate. They've had movement last week in the United States Senate. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, just how intelligent were the Neanderthal people?
Chris, the Neanderthals were people just like me and you. They were descendants of at least one of the tribes that migrated away from the Tower of Babel. Perhaps they lived in harsh conditions, but they were fully human. Archaeologists have even found that they had musical instruments, using the hollowed-out bones of animals perforated with holes like a flute. When replicas of these are made, it's found that they used the same musical scale that we use today. Mostly, they preferred minor keys. Of course, even the Israelites are known for their songs in minor keys, producing beautiful but haunting melodies. You see, Chris, even Neanderthals go back to Genesis, and so should we.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, today we've got to take stock of what's going on in our nation. And as you're going about, and I mean, all of us, we go about our daily lives. And I mean, we get up, we get ready for work, we go out the door, we get the kids out to school, or we get involved in appointments and do our shopping and pick up our groceries and go back home again, try to get a good night's of rest. And meanwhile, there are those that are trying to really take over our elections and doing it on a federal level. Tom DeWeese is with us. He is president of American Policy Center. And Tom, again, as you pointed out in our brief discussion here during the break, This legislation was so important to this present House of Representatives that they take the oath of office, and the first piece of legislation introduced is this one, January 4th, 2021. That's how important it is to them. I mean, that makes a statement.
Absolutely. This is, you know, to set everything up. They knew that they had this massive fraud, and they knew they had to clean that slate and put all the stuff in place to make sure that it couldn't be pulled away. Now you have, you know, like in Arizona, this attempt to really check into what's going on.
Yes.
And they have fought tooth and nail everything to stop anybody looking into what happened there and auditing it and seeing any results.
And that's what's so bizarre about this. They said there's no fraud going on. Everything is above board. Then why are they doing everything to subvert, you know, this fact-checking of what's going on, to go back and look at an audit of what's going on that tells me somebody, in you know, quote-unquote, is cooking the books here?
Yeah. And anywhere you mention it, it became, after that election, it became a politically incorrect to say anything about voter fraud. Anybody who says it is now a crazed conspiracy theorist and just dreaming on. The news media is pounding that idea.
Yes.
You're not allowed, and the Republicans, this is what gets me, the Republicans have picked up on it, many of the leadership, and saying, you know, not allowed to really say that there was election fraud. That somehow undermines the democracy of the United States. That's the line I've heard.
Voting by mail, that's where you were at when we were going to break there.
Yeah, well, you know, we knew that this was one of the places where massive fraud took place, was voting by mail. And there are reports that there were massive amounts of ballots that showed up that, you know, if we had a ballot by mail, first of all, you fold it and put it in an envelope. It has frayed edges on it. It has creases in it and so forth. There were stacks of ballots that were just, you know, like you would get out of a ream of paper that you put in your copier. It just looked that way. And that's one of the things that they're talking about. The other thing is on this is ballot harvesting. And this bill permitting voters to designate other persons to return the ballot. Mm. It says here, the state shall permit a voter to designate any person to return voted and sealed absentee ballot to the post office or a ballot drop-off location, and you know, just anybody can go and deliver that. Well, this is ballot harvesting, and this goes on particularly in some of the lower-income neighborhoods and so forth. And who says that you got it from there? They don't sign any kind of papers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sign anything official or anything. There's nothing there to indicate. You're not signing the ballot or anything. So who says you got it from them, you know, from a legal voter?
I understand in this mail aspect, Tom, that states would also be forced by this federal law, if it is passed, to count ballots arriving even after Election Day for a period of time. I mean, some would go a week or perhaps even longer.
Yeah, and then this is where all of a sudden you find that the vote completely changes, that you had this guy winning, but all of a sudden all these votes came in.
Yep.
And I find it just amazing to watch these reports on that suddenly they found 10,000 votes, and all of them were for this one guy.
Right, right. Well, welcome to Wisconsin politics. Welcome to Michigan politics and other states as well. I mean, just to see the, you know, all of a sudden that big burst of votes that came in at the last minute here, and we got to make sure every vote counts. I mean, these ballots that were supposedly sent by mail with no creases in them, no folds in them whatsoever, and we're supposed to believe that they came in through the mail? I mean, something's wrong there.
Yeah. But they want to take all of those things and make them all legal through this bill. And
also mandate early voting in states.
Yeah, yeah. Mandate early voting. And I believe, this is my own personal opinion, I believe we should have election day and that's it.
Yeah.
Except for specific absentee ballots by people for specific reasons.
We used to have that.
Yeah, that's what we had, yeah. But this has been going on. A lot of this stuff's been going on for a long time, but they've gotten it down to perfection now, and now they've got it into a bill before Congress to make it all legal.
I understand this would also force taxpayers to fund elections.
There is that. And the other thing that I'm trying to get to the bottom of this, exactly how this works, I've got a couple of different reports on it, that organizations like mine or many other organizations that would say something against a candidate, donor files would be looked at and supervised, and possibly we would lose our ability to operate and can't speak out against these things, or a candidate. I'm still looking into exactly how that works, but I've gotten a couple of reports like that.
Well, Tom, when we boil all this down, and I'm looking at your sledgehammer alert you sent out, you wrote this: the future of our republic is at stake. Is it really that severe?
Absolutely. If this is allowed to go into place, then this is massive voter fraud that is put in concrete. You can't question it. You can't go to court over it and file any kind of thing. One of the provisions of this is that a regular citizen can't file some kind of a suit against this. But if this is all put in place, and you will find that people who have the ideas of limited government, what the Constitution is about, controlled government and so forth, those will be absolutely obliterated, and you will never see anybody who advocates that again win an election if this is put in place.
Well, Tom, we know, okay, so it passed the House already. The Senate is split 50-50, and there are two independents there, but they're always voting with the Democrats. We know that Vice President Kamala Harris, the tiebreaker, would cast her deciding vote in a heartbeat to see this thing pass with 48 co-sponsors, Tom. They're almost there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons I put out the sledgehammer alert was hopefully that we generate enough calls that would get show some, if there are some Democrats in the Senate who have some morals left in them and have the strength to stand up to massive pressure, that we could stop this. We only need to change a vote. If we could get just one, two would be nice. But that's what we need to do, and we need to put that pressure on them now before this thing comes up for a vote. They need to understand that there's massive opposition to this. If there's somebody with some moral fortitude that would stand up, that's maybe we can find them if we put call everybody on Capitol Hill.
Well, everybody has listening right now has two U.S. senators, and folks, you can contact your two U.S. senators through the main switchboard, which is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and ask for them by name, or say, I'm from this state, please connect me to my senator, and then call back and get the other senator. Or if you want to go to Senate.gov, and you'll find the listing of senators right there. Click on that. It's very easy to see them listed by state, where you can contact your senators and certainly get the direct dial numbers to their office. But Tom, whether a senator has a D behind their name, an R behind their name, or an I behind their name, it's not time to take this for granted. They need to be contacted.
Absolutely agree, and we can't let anything go by on this. We have got to contact all of them. They have the word on Capitol Hill has got to be, how many calls did you get? Oh my gosh, they've got to feel that pressure. And one of the arguments that I hear sometimes brought up about this is, well, don't bother calling there, that won't do any good. This will go into the Supreme Court and that'll take care of it. We have absolutely no guarantee that this Supreme Court will uphold the Constitution and find this thing unconstitutional. We have got to stop it on the floor of the Senate as soon as that vote comes up.
Now, friends, keep in mind that there was movement on this legislation just last week. Matter of fact, the committee was dealing with this. And as the committee was dealing with this, Mitch McConnell was there and Senator Chuck Schumer was there. Now, normally, the majority leader and the ranking member, the minority leader, do not appear in committee to testify in, you know, regarding these bills, but they were there. And, Tom, they were having a showdown last week in the Committee on Rules and Administration. Now, we understand that there was kind of like a tie there, but this is enabling our understanding that Senator Schumer, as majority leader, anytime can say, we're going to put that out on the Senate floor.
Absolutely, and it's in his hands, just like it was in Nancy Pelosi's hands in the House.
Yeah.
It's in Schumer's hands, and they are controlling the rules. They're changing rules to meet what they need to do. There have been several bills that they needed to rush through that they didn't even send to a committee, which is the normal process to do it. They went straight to the floor so that the Republicans couldn't organize opposition to it. So they are apt to do anything to get this through, because this is number one on their agenda, because once this is passed, then everything else they want to do will just slide right through.
We know that a filibuster requires 60 votes, but we also know, Tom, there are attempts to do away with the filibuster on this, to somehow put this in a reconciliation package, amend it to go on to some other bill that it has a fiscal aspect to it. I mean, there is every trick in the book that's being done to see this passed into law.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only thing we can do is to get enough votes to stop it from going through. And like I said, we only need one or two from the Democrats, and we can have that happen.
The number again to the Senate, your senators, again, if you want to get their direct numbers, go to senate.gov. If you have access, you'll find them there. Otherwise, you can go in through the main switchboard at 202-224-3121 and ask for your two senators by name, or tell them what your state is, and they'll be able to get you that information. Now, Tom, there's something else here, and I'd like to couple this with an executive order that you've written about as well, that Joe Biden signed on April 15th. It's titled Executive Order on Blocking Property with Respect to Specified Harmful Foreign Activities of the Government of the Russian Federation. One might ask, what does this have to do with the elections? But I noticed Part C in this that you wrote about indicates that it could be a crime to even criticize election fraud.
Yeah, that's one of the provisions of that executive order, and I'm looking for it here.
Yeah, I threw that just for a curveball at you. I know there, yeah. but what we're seeing, that there are tentacles that are going out, not just in S1 or HR1, but there are other attempts through executive action or this or that to bring about their desired end.
Yeah, you combine this executive order that Biden signed on April 15th, you gave the title,
mm-hmm.
You tie that to this Senate bill that we're talking about in the elections. That's got everything covered there. You got total election fraud legalized, and then you have what they tried to do with this executive order was pretend like this was sanctions against Russia,
yep,
interfering in our elections. The truth of the matter is, it is designed to silence opposition to Biden's agenda.
We're going to take a break here, folks, and I'm going to open phone lines. No doubt you want to speak out on this issue. Maybe you've got a question about the legislation. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your response? We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
How many of you out there want to see a federal takeover of elections? Raise your hand. Yeah, you know, I'm not seeing too many hands. Fortunately, this is radio. But let me just say this. People see the chaos that happened this past November, and they said, we don't want any part of it. I mean, looking at watching what's going on in Maricopa County, Arizona right now. But we see other issues that are going on in other states, too, where they're investigating, and the regular reports are coming out in this place, in Antrim County in Michigan. This is going on. And so many officials in this state have been charged with the election fraud. And it continues to, the carpet continues to be rolled back as these creepy things are happening, and now the light of day is being shown on them. But folks, they want to federalize this and to make this the ordinary, the normal. And Tom is saying, I object. This is going to undo our nation as we know it. Tom, you put this out in a sledgehammer report, and some listeners no doubt would say, I'd like to get those sledgehammers and other emergency alerts when they come out. How can they do that?
All you have to do is go into our website at AmericanPolicy.org, and right there on the home page, there is a form or a little thing you can fill out there to give us your email address, and you will get our alerts as they come out. You'll get our alerts. You'll get our latest articles and so forth. Anything that we're putting out, you'll receive it.
Okay, again, folks, you can sign up at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We're going to begin in Las Lunas, New Mexico. And, Maddie, you're on the air. Hello, Maddie. Okay, we lost Maddie. Let's go to Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question about January 6th between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. I believe the Republicans' leadership and the regular Republicans lost their way in not challenging the elections, which led to H.R. 1 and S.B. 1. Now, with that being said, I would like to know, is there also an opportunity for these people, these very evil people, to take away our elections by attaching SB 1 to another bill and getting that passed by offering all sorts of goodies to these other politicians?
Good question, Tom. And before Tom DeWeese answers, just to correct you, Tom, in Port Wing, it's S1, not SB1. It's S1 for the federal bill there. But, Tom, that's a concern. I mean, we have seen, look what they did all in the name of COVID relief and all the things they tacked onto this. Could they take H.R. 1 or this S1 now and actually attach it to something else that is this must-pass piece of legislation?
That's a very insightful question your caller has asked. And yes, they have a history of doing that sort of thing. These guys never stop coming at us. They have an agenda, and they intend to put that agenda in place. One of the problems I find with our side, we have families to raise, we have jobs to work, and we want government to go away. And so we go in and we fight now and stop this. And then they just wait for us to look the other way, and then they'll do something exactly like that.
Yep.
We've got to stay vigilant all the way through.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. Let's go to Greg in West Union, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about the communist takeover of America. They have totally taken over the government system. And when they come and take our guns away from us, then we have no way to fight back against a tyrannical government.
Well, and it's not just guns. It's your vote. It's your livelihood. It's every aspect of it. Yeah.
They're in total control now. It doesn't make these Republicans keep saying, we're going to take back the House and the Senate. No, not as long as they vote like they count the votes like they have been. There'll never be another conservative ever take office again, unless they pretend to be a conservative and they're in the swamp.
Greg, thank you for the call. I'm going to have Tom comment on this, but keep in mind, as of right now, in the House, every Republican voted in opposition to this. Every Democrat but one voted in favor. Right now, all the co-sponsors, Tom DeWeese, every co-sponsor is a Democrat.
Well, this, you know, first of all, I have not yet surrendered the Republic of the United States. I do not believe the communists have taken over everything. I know that that's their goal, that's what they're headed for, and they're stronger than they've ever been before. This bill would definitely give them that kind of power. But even if this bill is passed, we have things we can do to fight back. We cannot accept that they have won,
right?
Because once you do that, you give up, and then the fight's over.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, and Paul is calling. Paul, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Jim, I would like you to comment. One of the things that is going to happen out of this is the elimination of state sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you raise a right issue here, Paul. Thank you, and we will comment on it. Thanks for the call. Tom, the strikes at the heart of state sovereignty, these are not constitutional powers that have been given to the federal government. These are authorities of the state, not the federal government.
Yeah, there's no question this is unconstitutional. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government this kind of power. There are 17 enumerated powers of the federal government, and our founders said, James Madison and others said, that if the federal government passed legislation, laws that were not part of those 17 enumerated powers, they're null and void. And, you know, nullification is an issue of one of the things we can do to step up to this. The sovereign states have got to understand their own power and not give in to these things and just say, oh, well, golly, there's nothing we can do. That is absolutely untrue, and that is where a lot of this battle is going to go if this stuff goes through.
Okay, next to Washington State, we have Richard calling. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking the call, Jim. You all mentioned in part of the discussion today executive orders. The term executive orders, to the best of my knowledge, absolutely does not appear in the United States Constitution. Executive orders are nothing. They're illegal. They're null and void. And we have to demand it. And like the man said, we have guns to enforce it.
You're absolutely right that these things are illegal. The problem is when you have state legislatures or city councils or whatever who say, oh, well, the president's put out this order, we have to do this, and they start enforcing it. That's where a lot of the problem is. And, you know, an executive order really is, you know, the president talking to his employees as the administrator of that part of the government for these agencies and so forth, telling them, here's what policies you'll do. It has nothing to do with the rule of law. It's not, he doesn't have the power to issue laws, but too many people don't recognize that, especially local and state elected officials, and they let it go through, and that's what we have to fight against.
Friends, I'm going to interject before we pick up our next call. The phone number is to your U.S. Senate, two U.S. senators. You can reach them through the Capitol Hill switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. The question is, will they hear from people from across this nation on this issue? It's already passed the House of Representatives, and folks, the sharks are circling right now. They smell blood, and they've already passed it in the House. They're at 48 co-sponsors in the Senate, and certainly this is an issue that they are desiring to see federalize the chaos that we saw this past November. Let's go to West Virginia. George is calling. George, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to say, I know this administration thinks they were voted in legitimately, but I don't think they were. And I think they were afraid that people would know that, and that's why they barricaded themselves behind fences in Washington, D.C. And I think Americans have to decide whether or not they need to fight for their nation or not. And it may come to a call of arms, and I think when you call your senators, you may have to say that they need to realize that they work for Americans. Our Americans were founded by the revolutionary efforts of the past, and these may have to be done again. So I think we need to understand that we may have a part in that. It may become the physical conflict. So make that point clear.
Okay, thank you for that. And Tom, that's something we don't want to see. We don't want to see physical conflict take place.
No, we don't. And quite frankly, I don't think at this moment we need to say that. I don't want to sound wimpy on that issue, but the atmosphere on Capitol Hill and so forth is fear. And when you say things like that, they'll discount you. And I think they're more afraid of losing their job than their head.
Yeah. And really, it's getting out there and voting. And folks, we look at the makeup of the Senate right now. And Tom, I see the many thousands upon thousands that did not go back to vote in Georgia. I mean, there were those so-called conservatives telling people, well, it's a corrupt system, just don't go vote. And many people followed that crazy advice and didn't go vote. And as a result, we saw what happened in Georgia as we see take place today.
And that's why we have this problem today. Those two senators would have made all the difference in the world in Georgia if we'd won that. But incredibly, after all the talk about the fraud in November, and then they had a special election in Georgia after that.
The runoff, yeah.
And they used exactly the same tactics.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Ohio is next. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is, your guest said that this bill would legalize voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that's a pretty strong statement,
yep.
Especially when we're talking about, our Congress, our Senate, to say that they are going to vote on the bill to legalize voter fraud.
Yep.
That's all I've got to say.
Okay, yeah. It is a strong, okay, that's all he had to say. That is a strong statement, Tom, but this is what this would do, because we see the tactics, we see the underhandedness of what transpired in so many states this past November election.
Yeah, I mean, I say that because I've seen all the reports of what took place in that election, what completely changed the outcome, ballots thrown out, ballots not counted, the voting machines, on and on and on, and that's fraud. And when I see a bill put together where all of those tactics are put in here saying, oh yeah, that's okay, then what else can you say?
Yeah.
This is a bill to legalize everything that happened then that was wrong.
Let's go back to what's going on right now in Maricopa County in Arizona. Tom, we've got those. I mean, we had the state audit that was required and turnover this, and they fought tooth and nail not to turn over the information. And guess what? Now they turn over things and they found out, oh, certain systems were erased. And now I've just announced here earlier today's expert, forensic expert, somehow getting the information and this battle that's going back and forth. If there is no fraud that's take place, then just be open about what's transpired.
Exactly. Show what was right. What happened right. And as you said, they found these things deleted, these records, and the voting machines cleansed and so forth.
Yeah.
But they've been able, from what I understand, to recover those things that were erased, because nothing ever disappears.
Right.
In
as Hillary Clinton knows now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's go to Carl in North Carolina. Carl, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to state on this stuff because this just shows that what goes on in Mexico, China, Korea, our government's doing the same thing to us.
Hmm.
The Senate and the House don't want me and you to tell them what to do. They're the ones voted themselves in that they can run for life and no one can put them out.
Yep.
They don't do it for the people. They do it for the companies that stick the money in their pockets.
Thank you for the call here. And Tom, this is what Venezuela did. I mean, this is how their leader continues to be elected over and over again.
Using the same voting machines.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what totalitarians do. They do not want to hear from the people.
Folks, we are up against a 60-second break. If you missed the number for your U.S. senators, we'll be providing that in the final segment here as well. So you be ready to jot that down. If you'd like to contact and weigh in with your senators on this issue, our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. We now have over 150 generals and admirals, flag officers, that have signed something that is historic. It's a letter warning the American people we are falling into Marxism. Folks, this has never happened. We have never had 150 generals, and the list may be higher than that now, sign a letter warning the American people we're rolling into Marxism and that there were issues with the election. We also now have a Space Force commander that has been fired simply by expressing his views, his concerns about Marxism. He has been relieved of his duty, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. Folks, we are in a pre-Marxist revolution right now in America, and those who think it's conspiracy, well, they might want to check with the generals and admirals who just signed the letter warning America it is now underway. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
So, friends, in the Senate, it is S1, the federal, we're calling it a federal takeover of elections because this really is what it is, Senate 1, S1, and it's already passed in the House as H.R. 1. It is over in the Senate at this time, and they had some issues going on in committee pertaining to that. Now, keep in mind, again, that there are 48 co-sponsors of S1. 48 co-sponsors, and they're seeking to have this passed. The American people need to know what's included with this. Tom has given a synopsis of it. Keep in mind, this entire bill has ballooned to 817 pages. You know, pass it to find out what's in it. But you can contact your two U.S. senators. You can go to senate.gov and click on senators, and you can find the two for your state, or call into the main switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. If you want to stay informed, and when some of these issues break, I mean, Tom has got his watchful eye on many issues, and there are certain things that will trigger what he calls a sledgehammer action alert. And if you'd like to receive those alerts, you can sign up on his website at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Let's get back to the phone lines. Dave is holding from Superior, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dave.
Thank you for taking my call. I signed up for Tom's newsletter. Very good. I would like to add one thing in addition to calling the Senate. One, don't. I'll do the negative first. And two, do's. Don't talk to you know, I love everybody who calls, but don't talk to your congressman about there being violence. Just don't even bring it up. Don't say you got guns, you want this to go to the street, because they're wing nuts. The weak left mind is reprobate in all its ways. And everything that they're saying now is going to be shouted from the housetops. So that's the don't, because you had a caller that said we should do that. And I just, not pushing back on him, I just think it's a mistake. And the second, do's are share the truth with strangers wherever you can. If you can't remember what's going on, write yourself a little 3x5 card, fold it up, put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, and share the truth. This is an illegitimate president. He's got to be brought out. The republic has to be restored. And the minute we start to get weak and worry, the enemy gets in and sows doubt. He's the iffer. He's the doubter. And there is, and you know what? It says in scripture, When you need wisdom, ask God, and he gives generously and ungrudgingly. But he won't give it to the doubter.
Yeah.
So we can't doubt.
Did you have another do here, Dave?
I do. Share VCY with everyone you talk to. Mm-hmm. Even walking down the street, walking your dog. Hey, tune into VCY. Give the call sign. Give the numbers. Tell them to tune in.
Yeah.
Great news.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. God bless you, Brian.
Appreciate the call. And, you know, good thoughts there from Dave in Superior. And certainly the information you learn from this program. And as many of you know, Vic Eliason, seasoned host here on Crosstalk, who debuted this program back in 1987, had the mantra, call 10 friends. And certainly you can take the information and tell others about it, as Dave here just mentioned. And Tom, that word needs to spread. People need to take the link from our interview today, put it out on their social media to make other people aware of the things that were discussed and learned about here today on the program. Take the releases that you send out in American Policy. Send them out. Get the word out to others.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is get it out there as far and wide as we can. And, Jim, as I've said to you many times, your audience is wonderful. And we have, on this show, we have affected legislation in the past as we've lit up phone lines on Capitol Hill. You're a very effective audience. Keep it up. Call and let's get this thing stopped.
Again, 202-224-3121 is Capitol Hill Switchboard. And if you want to even get their district office numbers, go to senate.gov. You'll find them there. Pat in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. It seems like the past few elections, the majority of the ballot has candidates that are running unopposed, and there are no write-in candidates available. So if you do not vote for those candidates, you leave the bubbles open, does your ballot get adjudicated? And then they can fill it out. But also, those candidates who are running unopposed, I live in a more liberal community, they tend to be liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my question about, I mean, it seems like you are given no choice of somebody to vote into office. So I'll take my comment off the air.
Thank you. And Tom, we're seeing this especially with things like school board races and city leadership positions, aldermen and county supervisors. These are actually offices you are honing in on, saying, people, you need to get involved.
Yeah, this is a major situation. As I mentioned earlier, our side doesn't like government, especially local governments. We don't want to get involved. And we've left the playing field wide open for them. And we are now doing training, and you will find stuff on our website about it, about local activist training. It's what I call creating a freedom pod out of your community. Focus on your community, focus on free enterprise, private property, individual choice, and how to run people for office, how to stand up and oppose legislation and things like that, how to organize. That is something we are really heavily involved in, and I am so grateful. I am seeing freedom pods begin to pop up across the country, people working on this stuff. It works, and this is what we have to do. Get involved on the local level.
Yeah, indeed. And so many times, I don't vote in those elections, spring elections, because it's just, you know, just those minor offices. These are critical offices, folks. Let's go to Frank in Kentucky. You're on the air, Frank.
Yes, it was pointed out that this is the practice of Marxism, communism, and I would also say, you know, Joe Biden pointed out that he wants to have a Muslim at every level of government. Also, there is a large LGBTQ faction. And so basically you have these three factions terrorizing, our Constitution. One of them is going to come out on top, and I contend that our nation is slated to be a black Muslim majority government. And after they dispose of a conservative.
Okay, tell you what, I really want to stay on topic here, Frank, with this issue here. And right at hand, it's important to stay focused on this Senate Bill 1. Yes, there are many ways that this can go here, but to stay laser focused on what is seeking to be passed to really transform this nation as a whole. And the number to call, thank you, and I apologize for butting in, but our closing theme music is playing. The phone number to Capitol Hill is 202-224-3121. If you want more information, you can go to Tom's website of AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, thank you so much for your research and helping to inform this nation as to what's going on.
Thanks for helping me spread the word. Appreciate it.
Tom DeWeese, again, at American Policy Center and AmericanPolicy.org. You're informed, folks. What will you do with this information? Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.